Welcome among the Rollist. Today I am joined by François.
Hello, hello, hello.
François came to London, left us, and now is back, and that's going to be the subject of this episode. So François, who are you?
I'm 30 years old. I'm from Belgium, like you.
I'm from London.
Yeah. I used to live in London also many years ago. That's how we met. I decided to leave Europe 16 months ago and start traveling. I've been working for the past 10 years in coffee, so both as a roaster and as a barista. So I just felt like I needed a break. So traveling was the best option.
Where exactly you are from in Belgium?
My nationality is Belgian, but I'm actually from Luxembourg. So that's the tiny country that is between Germany, France, and Belgium. I still have my family company there. And so I used to live for the past 10 years in Luxembourg.
What can you tell us about Luxembourg?
Well, Luxembourg is a very underrated country. So many people think that it's kind of boring and there is nothing interesting there. But apart from being a tax haven, it's actually a very cool place to live because it's very international. And it's actually, so the population of Luxembourg is only 500,000. Half of it is living in the capital, which is Luxembourg City. And the interesting fact about Luxembourg is that 50% of the population is actually foreign, which is the highest ratio in the whole of Europe.
Why and how London then?
So many years ago, so I moved for the first time to London in 2012. And at the time, it was booming with what we call specialty coffee. So that's the new wave, you know, those are all the new cool kids on the block. Making coffee cool again. So it's just the new generation of barista and coffee roasters. London was booming with specialty coffee, with good coffee quality. But it all started in 2010, I reckon, because in 2010, there was the World Barista Championship in London. So in coffee, like in food in general, they have many competitions, and in the coffee industry, we have many, many competitions. And so the most famous one is the World Barista Championship. So that's basically a competition for baristas from all over the world. So you have national barista championship in so many countries in the world. And every year there is a big gathering with all the national champions, and they go all together and compete for the title of World Barista Champion.
So you went there just to see it, or?
I was competing, actually.
So you were the champion of Luxembourg or Belgium?
Belgium. So I used to compete a lot when I was younger, and I did many barista competition, latte art competition, coffee tasting competitions, and I won 2 times the title of Belgian latte art champion. So I went to compete in 2010 in London and in 2012 in Seoul, in South Korea.
Cool. Wow. Amazing. So, how young you started doing latte art?
Latte art. Yeah. So, latte art is the, you know, that's the thing when you draw nice pictures in the cappuccino.
You can make a Totoro. Yeah.
The Japanese are pretty good at that. 3D latte art. So, you can see now on Facebook, on, you know, on the web in general, latte art is very common everywhere. Even McDonald's now is, you know, showing latte art pictures.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, even McDonald's.
So you came to London to that championship.
Yes. So that was my first time in a world championship and I loved it. So I just kept competing again. But at some point in my career, I just had to stop because I had, you know, too much work and it takes a lot of time to get ready. It's a lot of work, competition really. So, but maybe one day I'll get back to it.
You met another champion at one of those championships.
Alice? We didn't meet at the championship, actually. We knew each other beforehand, and I trained her.
So you mentored Alice into becoming a champion herself.
Absolutely.
I got pictures of a montage, like in Rocky. I don't know what I don't see why you would be punching some meat, but... Yeah, no, maybe milking some cows to be closer to the milking thing, to do the latte thing better.
Absolutely. So, yeah, my friend Anaïs and I, we were working in the same company, and we competed the same year in the French and the Belgian latte art championships, and we both won. So we went together in South Korea to compete. Yeah.
Wow, crazy. You should make a career of training others.
Yes, you can do that. Actually, some people are actually specializing themselves in the, you know, as consultants and basically barista trainers.
You need to go to France where he will train you.
Yeah.
Just follow that super highway to Luxembourg and find him there.
We got a Jedi temple there.
And we are recording.
Sorry.
So we're going to play tonight a little game of
Lone Wolf.
Indeed, as a very manly
warrior monks.
For my baby shower.
Yes. You have to get all your manliness out now.
Yeah.
Who are you guys?
I'm going to play Bright Shield. Who is Bright Shield? As Bright Shield, you will take on the role of a powerful Kai warrior. One with great skill in battle. When the forces of evil attack, you are at the front of every battle, holding the line and defending your companions.
That's a lot, huh?
Yeah. In his own words, they said Summerlanding came from the north, sailing to Summerland on mighty ships that tamed the harshest of waves. My family still plies the cold deeps, sailing along the coast as fisher folk, though not noble born, like most of my Kai companions. I come from a fierce, honorable heritage, and take pride in that fact. One of the ways I show respect to my heritage is by wielding the spear, an homage to the deep ocean fishing that my people do every day to survive. Together with my shield, I wield my weapon in defense of my duties, my fellow Kai lords, and the honor of my order. I hope one day to follow my family's tradition of facing down some terrible foe, defeating it in glorious combat, and emblazoning my shield with its image. Emblazoning my shield with its image.
You ruined it.
Okay. You picked up a ring just in the middle of that. It's your own fault for picking it up, man.
Okay. So who are you, man?
Okay. I will be playing Night Fox. As Night Fox, I will play a very capable Kai Lord, skilled in both combat and stealth. My bow skills make me an excellent sniper, and my ability to move unseen allows me to get in position before a fight even starts.
Ooh.
I guess I just assume there's going to be a fight.
Yes.
Like, at every opportunity.
You have to, right?
Okay. In his own words, life can be very hard for the struggling poor of Anskaven. Though Anskaven is one of Summerland's richest settlements, there are many shadows there that are deep enough for families to fall into and never find their way back out again. I know this firsthand. I might have ended up as just another body on the cobblestones had it not been for the emergence of my Kai gifts when I was 8 years old. I was found by a Kai lord I was attempting to pickpocket and was taken from Anskaven and brought to the Kai monastery for a life I could never have imagined. Now I ply my natural talents, both those of the sun god and those best practiced while he sleeps, for the good of the order. I am a true believer in the ways of the Kai, and no one doubts my loyalty. That said, I do occasionally have to fight against my baser instincts. This tends to manifest itself in my instinct to acquire and hoard possessions. I regularly fail dormitory inspections, typically when Menskird Silent Owl finds silverware and spare weapons hidden under my mattress.
Mom, those aren't mine. I don't know how those got there.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to keep that voice up.
As Moonblade, I will play a Kai Lord with potent psychic powers. My Kai disciplines enable me to excel when assisting my companions, and my armor is very advantageous in combat situations. I am highborn, yet very different from my fellow Kai. My heritage is a mix of Sumlending and Vasagonian. I manifested Kai's gift when I was only 6 years old. I am a natural psychic. And while my talents might have been put to much different ends in Vasagonia, my Sunlending father proudly took me to the monastery instead. I must walk a careful line between several worlds. I'm a child of two nations, and my mind traverses both the physical realm and the cyclic plane. I often see things that no one else can perceive and hear whispers and shadows I know are empty. My earliest memories are of speaking with the spirit of my grandmother, a wise woman who died 10 years before I was born. My gifts make me a natural diplomat and spy, a charismatic telepath with a knack for disguising myself as other people when the need arises. The Kai Skurden have great faith in me, even those that have been gone for centuries.
A great spy thanks to the advice from my grandmother. I can disguise myself as elderly women also.
It's Moonblade. Oh.
Moonblade, say this to him. Shut up, man. I've not seen him for years. Ask him how he's been.
Jedi Temple, that's a nice one to segue in the other subject besides immigrants and London, tabletop RPG. So how would you describe what is tabletop RPG to someone who never played it or never seen a video of it or anything?
Whoa. I think it's a getaway from the real world. So you just sit down with friends around the table and you can just go wherever you want. So if you can't travel at the moment, I think it's the best way just to just open your mind and get far, far away in a galaxy far, far away and just dream and be a kid again.
That sounds like karmic meditation. What would you describe as you are practically doing? What do you do when you're playing a tabletop RPG?
What do I do?
I'm someone, I don't know anything about tabletop RPG. You tell me, you go there, man, and you open your mind.
Okay.
And you travel with friends. It's like, it's a getaway, man. Getaway drug.
Yeah, but yeah, probably a little bit too hippie.
That's cool. That's nice. That's the point of the question. It tells a bit about you as much as about the hobby.
Yeah, I guess you just make stories with friends and you dream and you're playing characters and people you couldn't be in your real life. And that's such a tough question because there's just so many things to talk about when we talk about RPGs.
It's so funny because, again, it's been a while.
It's very hard to just give a quick answer to this question.
But it's funny, the personalities of people answering it. It's sad I haven't asked it for a while, but the funny bit is that myself, when I answer, is that you're sitting around a table, you got dice. I'm very practical in describing what is actually happening because I know people get confused immediately with live action RPG. Like the first question is always, do you dress up and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
So I tend to say, no, you're just in a room. There's someone is telling a story and blah, 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 blah. But it's very nice to see how people can answer it.
Yeah. I think that's the most important thing when it comes to RPGs is that you must dream really because, you know, the dices and the rules and the books and I don't know. Those are just accessories.
What
really matters is just what happens in your head.
The theater of the mind.
Absolutely. That's just, and you keep memories of that. You don't keep memories of your, you know, when you roll a 20 on a D20, for example. It's not that important.
Yeah, for sure. So when did you and how did you enter the dream then?
I guess my first role-playing game was Legend of the Five Rings.
Ooh, nice start.
Yes. And I was 12 years old, I think.
Wow.
Or 13 years old. I think I was 13 years old because I was playing the card game before and I loved the universe so much. And then a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to join a table. And I was like, yeah, sure. Sounds like fun. But I didn't really know what to expect. And then I had my first evening playing this role-playing game and I loved it so much.
What did you play? Do you remember?
I was playing a Crane Clan character and I had a very fancy Kakita blade, which was, you know.
Cranes are the best.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much. And then after that, I started playing other role-playing games, but still, I think Legend of the Five Rings is still my favorite.
I like to give shout outs to other shows and there's one from my network, the RPG Academy, which is called Shadow of the Cabal. And that's an actual player of Legend of the Five Rings. It's very good. So you should check it out.
I should check it out. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Would you say that Legend of the Five Rings is your favorite game then?
Probably, yeah. I love the universe just because it's so inspired by, you know, feudal Japanese era. Yeah, it's a very interesting universe.
I'm looking for the books at the moment, but I'm a bit picky because I want the first edition.
That's the best one. Yeah.
And I want it in French because the Cyrus team who made the translation, not only they translated the game from English, but they also expanded each book with more material.
Oh, yeah? In French?
Yeah, each of the Way of Clan books has got at least one scenario added to what was in the US. And they were very good writing scenarios because they were the people working at Casus Belli, which was a big role-playing magazine in France. And you got even more bonuses like the Phoenix one. You had a big list of all the spells at the back of the clan book. So that's the one I'm looking for. But yeah, it's secondhand and French, so it's a bit...
It's not easy. I think I still have the core rule book, actually.
Nice.
Well, I need to check.
You probably don't want to give it away, but if you do, yes. You know, I'm interested.
Okay.
I'm willing to drive from my in-laws in Rochefort to Luxembourg to pick
just
them
to
up.
Get it.
I would definitely.
Yeah, I need to check. So I'm going back to Belgium next week and I need to open my boxes. I still have a few books, but I've been away for such a long time. I don't even remember what I've got, so.
Nice. Well, it's going to be Christmas again. Mm-hmm. I hope you won't have like just a cockroach staring
totally,
at you.
Totally, yeah.
Okay, let's start. So we do play in Sommerlund, in the west of the map.
World.
West.
The world.
You are at the Kai Monastery. Kai Monastery is not too far from the capital from Holmgard, and you are apprentice there. You never went outside of the monastery. You've learned the ways of the Kai during many years, and today is for you the very first day where you can actually go on a mission for the Kai.
I will make my heritage proud.
Good luck with that.
So, it's a Kickstarter box, and I have everything done for me. I just have to read.
You mean Quickstarter?
Quick, yes. It is not yet dawn when you all arrive in the courtyard of the Kai Monastery. Eagerly, you await the appearance of Kai Femskerd Riverblade.
Not Femskerd.
She has summoned you here for an unknown purpose. You all three. Shivering in the chill morning air of this early autumnal day, you can hear the calls of larks and Kelly sparrows, which are birds, beyond the surrounding walls of the Kai Monastery. You watch with trepidation as Riverblade makes her way down the grand stairs from the door to the quarters of the Skurd Inn, the leaders of your order. "Greetings, initiates," she says, regarding you fondly with her keen, bright eyes.
"Greetings, master." greetings.
Are you an orc now?
You're trying.
Every time I do accents, it kind of travel a bit.
Mine's going to warp.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a professional.
Maybe we can switch as the game goes on.
"I see that you have come prepared for a journey as I requested."
"Oh, yes. I take this everywhere."
"This is good."
"I'm ready."
like a swarthy Spanish orc.
"What about you, Moonblade? Aren't you ready?"
"Always ready."
"We have received..."
"Who's your grandmother?"
"Don't tell her. I'll get in trouble."
"Tell her I say hello."
"That's just weird. Why did you know her?"
"Nah, it's from my mum. She told me to say hello if I saw Moonblade to his grandmother.
"With ancestors like ours."
"We have received a request for help from the merchants of the Alema Mitre."
"Ah, it's pit on the ground.
Merchants! Merchants have things.
Are they?"
"Yeah, like they buy your fish."
Ah, but they're not brave like us fishermen.
A fisherman, the most brave people you can think of?
Hi.
We're literal warrior monks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm proud of my fisherman.
Kai Fisher, you know? Kai Fisherman. And
I think whoever's fan of Lone Wolf's going to hate us. I'm sorry.
One of their caravans has not returned as scheduled, and they have asked us to investigate what has happened to it.
I don't know anything about it.
That's the starting point, indeed.
It's a good start.
Riverblade pauses, regarding all of you intently.
I'm a bit embarrassed.
Regard back.
Excitedly, you come to realize what it means for your fledgling Kai Skerdin. You have satisfied your mentors that you've attained a sufficiently high enough level of competence in your Kai disciplines that they deem you worthy to carry out a mission in the service of the Order of the Kai.
I will make the Kai proud.
And this will be a proper mission, one you'll carry out as a team.
It's about time.
It's about team.
Team. That's what I said.
You look at each other, the significance of the mission suddenly becoming apparent to you all.
Oh.
These merchants are very significant.
Riverblade begins to laugh.
How helpful for you.
She's not mocking you. There is a warmth and humor in her laugh and the words that follow. Yes, this is right, my young warriors. This is the moment you have awaited. The time is right for you to take your first flight together away from the nest.
Finally.
Now, do you have any question you'd like to ask me before I set you to your task?
Where were they last seen? How do we get there?
They were supposed to go to Holmgard, the capital. They never come back.
How far away is Holmgard?
3 to 4 days.
Let's get our things together and go then.
Yeah.
Any suggestions, psychic? Anything we don't already know?
I'm seeing 6 numbers between 1 and 49.
How do you... So has everyone looked at the abilities they have?
No.
That's probably worth doing. These are your Jedi powers. I mean, Kai disciplines.
Healing, Sixth Sense, Camouflage, Mind Blast, and Mind Shield.
What's Mind Blast?
Mind Blast, Mental Attack.
Okay.
Which means something very different in Scotland.
Okay.
Mostly drunk person with a broken bottle.
Oh, okay.
I heard that there was like 100 different ways to say being drunk in Scottish.
I thought someone was confessing to psychic attacks being common in Scotland.
There's a thing in Scotland called a wee mad mental, which is someone who attacks you with a broken off bottle.
That's called glassing in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
we have that too.
I like to picture that all politician mind power. It's just we go full crazy.
I use this his mental abilities.
Just goes mental.
So my disciplines are weapon skill with a bow, tracking, hunting, camouflage, and mind over matter. So I can literally move shit with my mind.
Okay. Just shit.
It's a medieval setting, so that's a very useful skill.
I got mind blast, mind over matter, which allows me to move crap also. Animal kinship, very close to the animal spirit. Hunting, because I get close, and then I kill it, and then I hate it. And then I got mind shield. And I can use a spear, I got a coil of rope.
You're talking to your ancestors, you're talking to animals. I just talked to my bow, I guess. I mean,
just one ancestor, believe me, she
talks
back.
What should I do? You should shoot that guy.
Cool, I'm going to do that.
What does the place where we are actually look like?
It's a Chinese-style monastery where you see training place, you see stone being used by so many generations before you. You have like the dents of the bricks by the foot of those, you know, who did their military training. So it's mainly bricks and marbles. It's a bit like you have your training here, but as soon as you're trained, you go out in the world, bringing order and justice.
Are we the only students at the moment?
No. You have the whole class, armor 2060, and just three of you, you're the one that is ready for that, so you just go. Rear Blade lifts her hand to indicate that she wants you to be silent. It's time for you to set about your mission, for I have many other things that demand my attention. I'm sure you are all aware that the success of this mission is important to those concerned, however trivial it may seem to some of you. Remember, from a small cones grow strong some landing oaks. Riverblade pauses a moment and looks up at a crisp and brightening autumnal sky. A wistful smile lingers on her face for a few moments.
Acorns and oaks. Is it merchants or farmers we're going to help?
Merchants, I believe.
You haven't asked merchant of what? Oh, yeah, you're right. Who knows? Now, be on your way, and I will speak to you all upon your return. For Summerlund and the Kai.
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 Another question I like to ask to my foreign guests. Would you have a French game to recommend to the listeners of the show?
From Belgium or France, let's say.
If it's from Belgium, it's even better. But personally, I don't know any. So that would be first-hand information if you got a Belgium role-playing game to tell me about.
No, I don't think so. I played a couple of French role-playing games. But to be honest, I can't even remember the name.
What was it about, maybe?
One was pretty cool. It was a futuristic universe.
Okay,
futuristic. Based on the French Revolution.
Futuristic French Revolution.
Yeah, something like that. It was really, really cool because it was kind of aristocratic, but in the same time it was futuristic. So you get this, you know, this.
Yeah, it sounds cool, but
yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell. I don't know which one that would be.
It was a Kickstarter at some point, and I remember the creator of the game went to Belgium one day to showcase his product, and we played with him.
Cool. So, and you don't remember his name?
I know, that's such a shame because...
I can research it. I'll find it.
So,
futuristic revolution sort of...
Something like that, yeah.
Kickstarter. Okay, cool.
Another one. I've got another one if you want.
Great.
Because the thing is, I don't know many French role-playing games, but there is one thing we're very good at in Belgium and France also, I reckon, is live acting role-playing games.
LARPs, yeah.
LARPs, absolutely. So I used to do a lot of LARPs when I was younger. I stopped. I haven't been to any for a few years now, but I used to do quite a lot of them when I was younger and I loved it. So if you happen to be in Belgium, there is a very famous one that is called Avatar. So we've got one big gathering every summer, and I think it's already been 15 years now. So they have this big gathering, and it's very famous everywhere in Europe, actually. In Germany, which is quite close to Belgium, there is another one called Drachenfest, and it's also super well known. And I think you get people from all over Europe coming to this LARP.
Do people speak English or just different groups speaking different languages? Or does
absolutely,
that work?
Yeah. So I think a friend of mine went to the Drachenfest last year and she told me that she was speaking in English and it was considered to be the foreign language in the game. So people who were speaking German were speaking the common tongue, let's say, while the people speaking in English were speaking, you know, a foreign language or something. So yeah, you can definitely get there and just speak English and you'll be fine.
It would be nice to be there and if you happen to speak German, English, French, and you play a character who's a translator.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you get paid for that in game.
Yeah, it could be fun, huh?
Which one was you told me several times about one which was a bit like Game of Thrones-ish?
Absolutely. It's called Outre-Terre. So that's a French word. And so the story is that some lords from Europe decided one day to, travel on boats across the ocean and ended up in Canada. And so they couldn't find a way to get back to Europe, so they established, you know, castles and and territories there.
Cities, etc.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so they developed this whole universe. So they have, you know, the Indians and, yeah, different religions. But it's pretty much like Game of Thrones.
Cool.
Let's say Game of Thrones in Canada.
Played by Belgians, sounds funny, but French, it's actually and pretty good. Yeah.
You three, you're about to leave now. In the wild, doing whatever. What do you have?
What? Are you asking us what we're taking?
Yeah, like, I notice I only have one meal in my backpack. I think it seems like a good idea to take more than one meal.
No, you have to hunt, I guess.
You have to hunt.
You can't hunt. No, he's a hunter.
He doesn't have hunting.
You don't have hunting?
We have hunting.
Why? We hunt for you.
We hunt for ourselves.
I can fish. If...
One of the first things they teach me in the car is don't share.
Really?
No.
I don't remember that.
That's just missing with you.
I don't remember that lesson.
You go hunting, do you have meals?
I look through all the sheets, and everyone who has hunting doesn't have meals because you don't need
because
to.
Because you don't need to.
If you've got the hunting skill, basically you don't need meals.
Okay. So I can...
Because you assumed that you could forage.
So basically after one day, I'm in trouble unless...
Yeah, you're going to be up shit creek.
Yeah, unless you guys like can hunt double.
Thing is, in the books, obviously you're always on your own, so yeah. It never comes up. It's never needed to share. Night Fox is taking his bow and his broadsword, a coil of rope, and a potion of Lormspur. Lormspur is the healing herb in this setting.
Okay. I got a coil of rope and a lantern as my standard gear. I got the spear and a shield. I wear chainmail. With above that, I guess we got all the same green cloak over chainmail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same. Chainmail, helmet, sword, dagger, and a mule.
A mule.
Is it a mule?
Yeah, I would say also my character is blonde with a beard and a big moustache. His hair are long, but held by a little piece of rope around his head. He's got a very stern and deep look.
Night Fox
looks very bright.
Tall.
Hi, bright shield, that's white, me!
Tall, white, with very dark features, like sunken eyes, dark hair, and his hood's almost always pulled up. And I think he never lets go of his bow.
Moonblade dresses all in green. He has, looks like, wavy black hair. I guess he's a mixed race guy, so his skin looks a little bit darker maybe than the other
complexion,
two.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You're part Vasagonian, aren't you?
Yes, I believe that's what he said. Vasagonian and some landing.
Ooh. So, Holmgard, the capital, is southeast of your position. The Alemann Mitre is halfway. Mitre, which is where they come from.
Okay.
They're supposed to go from Alema to Holmgard. Goes lost on the way.
Which are two big cities, or one is a village?
Holmgard is the capital. I don't
know. Holmgard is the capital, so you that's massive. The Alema Mitre, probably just like merchant post.
Very
green trees, forest, wild animals everywhere, so it's kind of a European style forest.
Yeah, German or.
Yeah. Stone-led road, but it's mainly 80% is just dust.
Yeah.
Shall we be on our way then?
Let's set off.
The omens are favorable. We should leave.
Yes, no. Let's set off.
Let's leave without wait.
As you walk under the granite archway of your monastery home, you see the trail stretching out before you. It winds its way into the depth of the Freilund forest. The sounds of your footfalls change as you cross a wooden bridge and step onto the packed stone and dirt of the track beyond. Looking over your shoulder, you take one last glimpse of the Kai Monastery. It has been your home and sanctuary for many years.
I spit on the ground. I find that freedom, please. The food was horrible. The fish was not fresh.
The sausages were okay.
The mid-autumnal sun arises and bathes the forest with its welcoming light. With high hopes and warm hearts, you pass below the bow of the trees and venture deeper into the forest.
onwards to riches.
Before long, you are walking with confidence through the timberland on a south-easterly tack, along a winding trail that will see you arrive at the Alema Meet just before dusk. Just so long as you set and maintain a brisk pace, that is. The air is crisp and the leaves of many trees are turning golden brown. When you look into their book, you see calli sparrows and larks flitting between them and a occasional grey squirrel scurrying about its business.
Ah, my meal!
How's that animal kinship working out for you?
Come over here, need a little squirrel.
Can I try it? Oh, yeah. Can I try to talk to the squirrel to attract it to come close to me?
Do you have...
animal kinship, yeah.
Animal kinship roll. Wait, roll, sorry.
I ain't seen no dice. What is this trickery?
Flip a token into one of the boxes.
So this is your token. Take the character of your the token character, yep. Flip it on the box. You will see there is a small arrow at the bottom of your coin, and that will indicate what number your token just landed. So, that's a fail.
Really?
No.
So yeah, my token got out of the box. Okay. So
that's a nine.
A nine, yeah. Squirrel is coming towards you.
Come here, little squirrel. Come here, you're so cute. I got nuts for you.
Okay, he understands that you have food for him.
And it comes closer?
It does.
Okay, I stab it. And I
behold the master hunter.
I remove the skin and I do what's needed to preserve it to be able to...
Is that really necessary? We literally just had breakfast.
You never know.
You're just going to put it in your bag. Disgusting.
Bright Shield sees an opportunity and sees it. We don't know. We might not...
Bright Shield, there's a bird over there. Look.
I'm not fancy bird tonight.
Now, I am supposed to ask you, how do you come about to know each other?
As in, how did we know each other before this?
Yeah. Are you close friends, or are you just mere acquaintances?
Quite like the idea of us being forced together for this. And we've each got our own cliques at the school.
I think maybe
we tolerate each other, but one of us thinks we are very close friends.
Which one? I think I know which one.
Is it me?
It is you.
I think we're very close. Brothers in arms. Moonblade. Our first mission. Our first time outside of the monastery. Isn't that a glorious day?
Bright Shield. The lone wolves are running together again.
I think maybe...
for the first time.
Diverting the...
It's funny, but when you say that like that...
Oh, look!
Doesn't make any sense that the lone wolf ride again together.
That's the joke.
Look, none of us like each other, but we'll just have to get through this and then never talk again, okay?
Imur again. I love you, lads.
I guess you would have offered to... go ahead, scooting discreetly.
Yeah. So brave. Always putting himself in front, in the risk for us. He could stay here and enjoy your
bloody
company.
Coward, defending from the rear.
The dangerous spot is in the rear. I'm in the middle.
As Kai Lords, how do you feel about this mission? What's your instinct is? What the most suspicious or what do you think?
I think there's those stupid merchants, they've lost their way. It's probably nothing, but that's a start.
I sense evil.
And that's an opportunity to spend time with my friends.
I don't know how to break this. Never mind.
It's our responsibility to do good in this world, to look after those weaker than us, travel the roads righting wrongs.
Exactly. I agree entirely, but I feel we should be adequately compensated whether or not they're aware of it.
Merchants can help with that.
That's not very Kai, but...
I'm like 66% Kai, 33% thief.
That's not very... Kai.
It's two-thirds. Ah,
any ideas how you're going to approach this investigation?
I suggest we follow the route that they...
I suggest we... We should follow them. Just retrace their steps.
I suggest we head to Alima Mitra and then retrace the route.
At a quick pace, because as far as we know...
The squirrel episode delayed a bit you on your track, so...
What? I mean, he's got hunting, so I think that really took about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it seems...
Yeah, but you skinned it, you did everything, so to me...
That's something you're supposed to do fast, otherwise the meat goes bad. It's not something which takes a long time.
Okay. Oh, that's so good.
What I meant is that I just did the disgusting thing you do to a creature which just died so that it doesn't go bad for you to consume it.
You realize half the room thinks meat is murder, so...
Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to...
It is around midday. As you travel along the Alima Trail, suddenly you hear pained cries coming from the trees at the side of the track. The moans and mewling are pitiful, and they seem to come from someone or something that is in a great deal of pain and distress, and you can feel that pain. What could be the cause of their anguish?
It sounds just like pain.
It does.
It doesn't sound aggressive at all.
No.
Okay.
Does my sixth sense kick in and tell me anything that's happening?
Your sixth sense doesn't wake up. There's no something sinister afoot.
So yeah, I try and move stealthily through the trees.
Who has animal kinship?
I do.
You can tell that the sounds are being made by an animal in distress. Most likely a deer.
I think my fox was right. I killed a squirrel for nothing.
Does Gucci turn one of those deers?
I'm going to be so full.
Who has tracking or hunting?
I.
Both.
You can find a small animal trail that branches off the main path.
Mm-hmm.
I follow it. I want to call the others over, but I don't want to just shout.
You do follow it?
Brothers, I don't sense any danger here. We should investigate.
Moonblade, Brightshield, over here. Found a trail.
Good work.
As you walk along the narrow animal trail, the thick foliage brushes against your cloak and thigh. You spot a snare lying at the side of path, partially covered by twigs and leaves. Nearby, you easily spot a field dressing that has been abandoned by the side of the trail. The poaching appears to have taken place very recently, and the cries of distress are coming from somewhere close by. It should not be too difficult for you to locate the source.
We should either help it or, if the worst comes to worst, put it out of its misery.
That's a very kind thing to say. It is only a short time after discovering signs of poaching that you happen upon a female fallow deer lying on the leaf-strewn forest floor.
So, quick question. Presumably, if it's being described as poaching, it is not legal to hunt here.
It is not.
Maybe it's the domain of the monastery still, so maybe it's as not poaching for me.
You're worried about that squirrel.
Because technically you're a poacher then.
One of her hind legs is ensnared in a vice-tight grip of a poacher's trap. She looks up at you with anxious eyes, her chest rising and falling quickly as she struggles to control her breathing and cope with her pain.
Mind blast!
I was thinking bow.
What does mind blast do?
That is nine.
Yeah. You blast the mind.
Hey, actually doing this. Okay,
you redid it. Okay. She just died. She's just dead. Mind blown.
Sorry, let me get back in the car.
What the actual f***?
I could not bear to see it suffering.
It didn't look that bad. We could have just freed it.
It is our duty to prevent suffering.
The monastery is literally 2 minutes away. They're a trained healers.
It's a deer.
It was.
My point exactly.
My God. I loot the body.
It is your duty as a Kai to report everything you do during the adventure.
Oh shit.
We found a deal in Big Red Bane. And
we blew her mind.
Moonblade couldn't take it, so he put an end to its misery.
So what do you do with the meat?
What? No, nothing. We cannot do that. Apparently. I hide the squirrel behind me. And sitting on my bed.
Well, this is a f***ing mess, isn't it?
Yes. It all depends the way you will tell it.
I was planning on being the slightly evil guy. But I'm the only one that hasn't killed anything yet.
Well, there's a difference between killing and mercy killing. I stand by what I did.
Very well.
Hey, women, you look stupid. That's mercy killing. That was not murder.
We sent on a mission, or were we, like, exiled but not told about it?
Let's forget about that stupid deer and let's go.
The merchants might be suffering. We should get back to the path and continue.
Job done.
Yeah, what's nice that we need to clarify that we are completely sober.
Just a bit tired.
Because maybe. We might sound drunk.
Travel, what made you decide first to leave London and second not go back to Luxembourg and Belgium but to go elsewhere?
So I left London in 2013 because we were working at the time with my brother. So in my family, we've got a family company. We've been coffee roasters in my family for 4 generations. And my brother, my sister and I are the 4th generation. Actually, I'm quite proud of my sister at the moment because she's the first female coffee roaster in the family in 80 years. So that's...
nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've got this family company, and at the time, my father passed away a few years ago, and so it was time to do, you know, we had many things going on in the company, within the company, and so it was time for me to go back, and we were working with my brother on this new project, which was to move the roastery to Luxembourg City and open it to the public and have a coffee shop on the same spot. So I went back to Luxembourg, we worked on this project for a few months, and then we opened the new roastery in March 2014. And after a couple of years, it was working well. So I was still working with my sister, my mother, my brother. And after a couple of years, the business was going well, and I just felt like I needed to do something new. So I had 2 options. Throw myself into a new project and maybe start a new coffee shop somewhere or do something else. And I was, you know, getting close to my 30s and I wanted to do something different. Maybe also have a break. So because I've been working quite hard for the past 10 years and I just felt like, yeah, I needed a proper break in my life. So yeah, the plan was to travel for a year and then come back to Europe. But instead I extended it. So.
You started that big travel with North America then?
Yes, absolutely. So I was traveling with my friend Anais and we went to North America. So we stayed 3 months in the USA. We've been mostly visiting national parks there on the West Coast. They were absolutely stunning. And then after that, we went to Central America.
In the national park, I remember you made a video blog of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still online?
We made a few videos. It is not anymore, unfortunately. Oh, well, actually, the YouTube channel is still online, I think, yeah.
What's the title of that?
It's Nice and Fox.
Nice and Fox.
Yeah, Nice, which are our nicknames.
I'll put the link. Don't take it down.
Okay.
I remember a couple of videos of you two singing in the forest, like Pocahontas on a stone in the middle of the woods. That was quite cool.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. So we were basically just filming when we were traveling. So I was driving all the time. So Anais had quite a lot of free time. So she was editing the videos on the small iPhone on the road. So we didn't have a lot of time and we were camping mostly. So we had no, you know, everything was done just with the iPhone.
So that's editing, crazy.
Everything was and on the road.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm doing a podcast and it's quite amazing the tools you can get for free already. But the idea that because the videos you made, they were very nice. So the idea that you did them not even with a laptop, but just on the iPhone.
Just the iPhone, yeah.
It's crazy.
We're still pretty amateur, but it was fun. It was just to show, you know, friends and family and just share the good moments.
Yeah, I lost track. I need to catch up with those. Mm-hmm. What was your best memory in the US?
Definitely the national parks. So beautiful. And I loved the Northwest territories. So I totally fell in love with Washington State, Oregon, Montana, and Wyoming. Just because it's so wide, unpopulated. It's just huge. And you've got those big, massive forests, the mountains, the rivers.
Must be somewhat different from the Ardennes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I still love Belgium, and I'm glad I'm back to Europe, but I loved it so much. So I would love to get to Canada as well one day.
Yeah, that would be nice. So you mentioned national parks, but there are plenty in the US. Which ones did you go to?
So we visited about 25 national parks.
Wow.
It's a lot. So among my favorites, I would say there is Yellowstone, Glacier, North Cascade, Rocky Mountains. In Utah, in the desert, there is Arches, Canyonlands. Yeah, Grand Canyon, Yosemite.
Wow.
And so forth.
Yeah, I need to see. I did a couple of cities in the US, but I still need to go to the...
The countryside is so beautiful. And the cool thing about national parks in the US is that you can buy this card. It's an annual pass. You pay $100, which is not much. And for the car. So it's not even for a person. It's just for the whole car.
Okay.
So if you're traveling with friends, it's just for the car. So, so it's quite inexpensive and you get access to all the national parks for one full year.
Cool.
So after two national parks, it's already reimbursed and the rest of it is just.
One day I do a crazy travel going, through national parks and ending up or starting at Lake Geneva, so I can do a Gen Con at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Could be cool.
Where's the Gen Con again?
It's a place called Lake Geneva.
Uh-huh.
And American listeners going to strangle me.
I thought it was Minnesota, but I'm not sure.
It might be. It might be Minnesota.
Need to check this. Well, we're not from the US, so...
Yeah,
how could you know?
Yeah. Go locate the Utopial de Nantes on a French map and then, then you'll tell us.
You make your way through the trees and after a short while you notice that the floor of the forest is beginning a gradual descent. Through the trees ahead, you catch a few tantalizing glimpses of the river Unoram.
Oh.
This major watercourse is one of the three great rivers of Sommerlund.
Ah, that's a great river.
The other two being the Thor and the Elledil.
Anyone for a swim?
It is almost a mile across at the point where you are now. The Unoram tumbles down from the central Dunkirk Mountains and joins with the Elledil within the walls of Holmgar before flowing out into the seas of the Holmgul. You know that because you have geography at school.
That's complicated.
Not geology. That's a different thing.
That's a great span. The Alema Bridge was constructed many centuries ago to provide a way across the river. From your present vantage point, you can see its impressive stone towers, its wide approach ramp, and its granite gateway that is watched by the waning light of the evening sun.
Wait, this is the gate to where we're looking at?
The bridge across the river is the Alema Mitre, and the enter of the bridge has a massive kind of mini fortress where you can rest a bit.
Ah.
And there is guards, you know, as a checkpoint.
The barbican.
It's like a massive, expensive checkpoint.
I think it's barbican, right? This sort of thing. But not the one with the cultural center in it.
Okay.
This might be a cultural center.
That's interesting. In the shadow of the towers, there is an area of leveled ground, paved with ancient slabs of granite worn smooth by the passage of centuries. This paved area is known as the Alema Mitre, and it is used as a meeting place and campsite for merchants.
Their wagons are bivouacked on the Alema Meet, and their lanterns are steadily growing brighter as the sun slowly sets below the treetops.
Ah, Night Fox, was a good idea to come here to see some merchant, to find all merchant which disappeared. The Alema Meet is known to be a meeting ground for merchant.
Many merchants.
Mm. Merchant. Spit on the ground.
Men and women.
How do you have so much spit?
Pass among the wagons and horses, busily preparing their camp for the onset of night.
If there are guards on the gates, I would like to ask how often caravans leave to home guard.
Or introduce ourselves first, at least.
There are Kai Lords here?
Yeah, three. Yeah. At all time. Wherever you are, there are three Kai Lords.
That's us.
I thought we were Kai students rather than Kai Lords.
Jedi Knights, even the youngest one is a knight, we're lords.
Okay. Is there someone in charge of this place? Maybe we should actually introduce ourselves to the person in charge and see what we're doing.
Yes.
I think there might be a quartermaster.
We should definitely find the quartermaster. It seems the most sensible and obvious thing to do.
It's great you had this idea straight away and I did not have to edit out all the discussion before for the podcast.
Pod what?
It's a pod, like a in
like
bees.
A thing you throw in a river? Like
yeah,
cast?
You cast it.
How do you get it back?
You don't.
Seems like a waste of time.
Through gifts of patrons.
As you approach,
shout out.
You encounter a couple of guards on the edge of the camp. They are warming their hands above an iron brazier full of glowing coals.
Hey, cold air. What are you, men?
They recognize you at once because you wear the green cape.
We're motherfucking Kai Lords.
Motherfucking Kai Lords.
Stop putting things I have to bleep.
They all get on their feet. They go straight. They dust off whatever they're wearing. And they greet you the welcome, of course, and ask you about your...
At ease, men.
Well met. We merely have a few questions for you.
For us? For us?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, can I help?
Yeah, surely you can help.
Night Fox, this is Brightshield. I forget his name.
I am Moonblade.
That doesn't sound very kind.
I'm not the psychic here.
We come straight from Sun Landing.
That's the name of the continent.
We come straight from Summerland.
That's the country.
That's the country.
We're getting closer. Look, it doesn't matter where we come from.
We come from the Kai Monastery.
Oh yeah, of course. And
I guess that's obvious.
It's our first time, so we are on the learning curve.
If you could go easy on us.
No, tell me
a joke.
Nice place? No, wait. Nice place. By any chance, did you see any caravan recently?
Like 20 just now? Like, point fingers at 20 different caravans.
Before those.
When did the last caravan leave to Home Guard?
You can see them leaving now.
They're all going to Home Guard.
Yeah, that's the bridge is the only way to Home Guard.
I'm sorry, my friend. We've been cooped up in the monastery for many years. We're readjusting to...
I suppose you have your incredible talents being explained to you then.
Don't mind, blast him. Be careful with those things, lad.
You're scaring him.
He's right to me. These are a dangerous guy you got over there.
Well, I'm sure every guy is dangerous, of course. Well,
you know.
You don't know nothing.
I do not pretend.
Thankfully, we have years of training and knowledge that is always kept at the forefront of our minds to keep our powers safely in check.
He's listening to you with the eyes wide and it's like, oh my god. Yeah.
It's not like we're just making this up as we go along. That would never happen.
And you know, worst case scenario, he always has his grandmother.
That just raises more questions than it answers.
Well, that's the mysterious ways of the Kai.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. We just have to confer.
Okay.
So I've heard rumors about a quartermaster in this.
We grabbed by the green cloak.
Okay, guys, let's. Game faces, everyone.
It's game? Which games?
The squirrel and the deer.
No, not that game. Not that game.
Guys.
Right. What do we want to ask these people? We want to find out when the last attack was. If they've ever heard of any other attacks. What else?
I think we should ask the quartermaster this. I think asking the gate guards is maybe.
Well, I think it's nice to have a practice run with those guys. We don't matter. Think of it as spreading our legend.
That's how you cut it.
This episode included soundscapes by fellow YouTube creators, including Temple Ambiance JDR by Maxime Lenoz, Forest Daytime with Small Marketplace by Sword Coast Soundscape. I will include links to their YouTube channels in the description of this episode, so please go head there. And of course, our theme song, Solta o Frango by Bandido Roll. You might have noticed the new logo by Rolling Kunz. It's a major improvement, I think. And there's more. There are much more drawings Rolling Kunz produced, which are quite cool. And I put already some of them on the Rollist Podcast branded t-shirts and merchandising, which you can purchase via Redbubble. Again, I will include a link. It's the joint shop of the RPG Academy, of which the RPG Academy, the Rollist Podcast, is a proud member. It includes many shows, but this month there was something very special. We were invited by Wizards of the Coast to participate a big cross-podcast event called Podcast of Foes, celebrating the release of their new D&D supplement Tome of Foes. And you can right now listen on the official Wizards of the Coast D&D podcast stream Dungeon Delve to the contribution of many shows from the RPG Academy Network, including Redemption Podcast. So if you want to hear what it would sound like if a Jedi was playing Dungeons and Dragons, that's your place to go. Lawful and Orderly, with minor spoiler, where Pac-Man might come from. The Broadswords, Shadow of the Cabal, Return to Greyhawk, and the RPG Academy show itself, in which I participated. Maybe early listeners of the Rollist Podcast might remember me mentioning a character called Silence. Well, I seize the opportunity of Podcast of Foe to interpret again that character. I hope you will find that entertaining. So thanks to Victoria from the Broadswords for setting all that up. That's an amazing achievement you performed there. And yeah, you have a much deserved accolade from Wizards of the Coast itself. Thanks, Michael, for your kindness to allowing me to join your table for this occasion. Now, back in the UK, the next Ludrinks and Dice should be on Monday, June 25th. I also hope to meet a lot of you at the UK Games Expo in Birmingham, which will be from the 1st of June to the 3rd. That's why I'm releasing this episode a bit early. I hope to run into new people, but also the regulars, Peter, Rich, Simat, and Azakoso, who have been faithful listeners of the show for the early days. And Azakoso left that review on iTunes about the show back in the early days. Top fun Belgians in London. I've really enjoyed the 3 episodes of the podcast I've listened to. Well, again, it was in the early days. A fun mixture of RPG discussion, film reviews and interviews, both longer discussions and more random vox pops. Excellent stuff and highly recommend it. Thank you so much again for that review, Azakoso. Please, other listeners, consider reviewing the show on iTunes. I actually don't have that many of those reviews, and those are very important to reach new listeners on iTunes, of which I don't actually have that much on iTunes, if I believe the statistic I'm reading on FeedBurner. But yeah, please head to iTunes and leave something there, and I will read it on the next episode of the Rollist Podcast, like I just did. Thanks also, many of the people I just named and more, for supporting the show via Patreon. Actually, this episode was the actual play recorded with a new piece of equipment I bought thanks to your contribution, a mix table, which makes it way simpler for me
to record actual play with several people. I still need to properly master the thing. The sound was not top notch yet, but it makes things much simpler for me when I'm recording and editing, and it makes it actually much more likely that I will include actual plays in our episode. So again, it's thanks to you if you will hear more of those in the future. And if you do want to, if other people want to hear more of those, head to Patreon and give me a little support there. It's much, much appreciated. Even just the price of a coffee, I mean, it means so much to me. And actually, you will get some perks from that. Perks such as Café Roliste, which is kind of monthly. We're trying to keep that regular. And it's just myself and Akadosh, who was a game master here of Lone Wolf, discussing about our campaigns and news in tabletop RPG as we are having lunch from work. And a good cup of coffee, of course. So that's it. Again, I hope to meet some of you at the UK Games Expo. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you will come back for the second part. See you then, and in the meantime, have good games! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Holy! 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 Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigoduto. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim ou travesti. Vai, Batuque! Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Tu crois que la terre t'appartient tout entière. Pour toi, ce n'est qu'un tapis de poussière. Moi, je sais que la pierre, l'oiseau et les fleurs ont une vie, ont un esprit et un cœur. Pour toi, l'étranger ne porte le nom d'homme. S'il te ressemble et pense à ta façon, mais en marchant dans ses pas, tu te questionnes. Es-tu sûr au fond de toi d'avoir raison? Comprends-tu le chant d'espoir du loup qui meurt d'amour? Les pleurs des chats sauvages au petit jour? Entends-tu chanter les esprits de la montagne? En rêvant de pouvoir peindre l'air du vent, peux-tu peindre en mille couleurs l'air du vent?